Today we start chapter 2. James continues to talk about caring for the poor, but he also looks at the idea of favoritism among the believers. As human beings, we all love and favor something or a group of things, someone or a group of people. We have our favorite sports teams. Mine, Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bulls. We have our favorite food, mac and cheese for me. I can eat it every day if you let me. My doctor says that's a clogged artery waiting to happen. We have favorite clothing that we like to wear. Favorite cars, my Camaro. We favor political parties and even policies. We favor children and grandchildren. Sometimes they drive us nuts more than others. In the movies and in real life, children and grandchildren love to ask their parents and their grandchildren, "Am I your favorite child?" And then, as you all know, the answer that is always said is, "I love all my kids equally." And then the kid usually rolls their eyes because that's not the direct answer that they want. They want to be the best. They want to be the favorite. As people, we want to be liked. We want to be favored. And we want to be part of an in-group, an acceptance group. Naturally, we favor our love towards certain people or things. But as we see in James today, James calls an end to this among the Christians. He's not saying to stop liking things, but it's when we put others above another. As we know, James is writing to the dispersed Christians. So Christians who are all over, they're being persecuted, they're spreading out, they're moving away from the area and the home at which they have always known. So again, let's read James 2, 1 through 9, as Elliot just read. Reading scripture again is never a bad thing. My brothers and sisters, believers in our Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes, and say, "Here's a good seat for you." But say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet." Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world, to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom of God he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Right away, James hits us in verse 1 with a gut punch and gets straight to the point, straight to the heart of the matter. Christians do not show favoritism. That is the main point and the main idea throughout this whole passage, but throughout this whole message that I'll be giving today. He's direct, to the point, and again, Christians must not show favoritism, or as many of the commentaries, but also many of the other Bible translations say, partiality. During this time period, the word favoritism and partiality was seen as discrimination. When we favor someone over the other, we are discriminating against another person. Christians should not show favoritism because Jesus did not show any favoritism. As Jesus did his earthly ministry, he encountered every race, background, ethnicity, and did not see them for who they were on the outside, but who they were on the inside. Much like the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan. The disciples, they didn't understand how and why Jesus could even interact with such a person. She was different. She was part of the out group. She was in a completely different category as the disciples, as the Israelites, as Jesus is. They didn't get why he would interact with her, why he would even give her the time of day. But Jesus didn't see her appearance. He didn't see what category or what group she may have come from. He saw her heart, her faith, her love, and said, come to me, come know me, come see me. I'm going to see you. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 2, 11 through 13, for God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. The Apostle Peter in Acts 10:34-35 says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who hears him and does what is right. Paul and Peter perfectly back up what is being said in James, where Christians are not to show favoritism because God does not show favoritism. It goes hand in hand. If God does not, then we are not. For James to say to the people at this time to not show favoritism and partiality was a big deal because they lived in a very partial and discriminatory age. The society and culture was very much based on class, ethnicity, nationality, and religious background. In the ancient world, people were routinely and even permanently categorized because they're either Jew or Gentile, slave or free, rich or poor, Greek or barbarian. It's all about categories. It's all about those social groups. That's how you were seen, and that's what you were known for. There was always a category that you would fit in and get put into automatically. Even today, I do not think we're very far off from the ancient world, from the ancient times, where we are still continually putting each other in social status categories. A huge part of the work of Jesus was and is today to break down the walls that divide humanity and instead bring forth one new race under him and in him. As the early church learned what it meant to be unified in Christ over time, and it definitely was over time because unity did and does not come right away. This unity and openness of the early church shocked the ancient world because this is not how people lived. They lived in categories, not in oneness. Then we move into verses 2-4. James narrows it down from the idea of not showing favoritism as a whole and as in general, but now he looks at it as within the church body, within the church community. He's telling everyone first, hey, Christians, do not show favoritism. But then with the church body, he gives an example of the rich man entering the meeting place of the Christians. Verse 2-4, it says, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, you sit by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Now, when James says the word meaning, there's no church buildings that we go to today yet. Their place of meeting was usually some large room or a large room at a house of a wealthy person of that church. It's usually who Paul was writing to. He would write to these people that were a little more wealthy that would get the letter, and they would be able to have the gatherings at the places he was writing to. Or they would meet at a banquet hall that was specifically used for the purpose of having services, church services, or just even governmental services, like where the government would come together and meet. James's story of illustration relating to favoritism and partiality is important because not many wealthy people believed in Christ yet. As Jesus said, it's harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a nail to enter the eye of a camel. So when one walked in the church meeting, it was a big deal. It was exciting. But it was exciting by their appearance because it was known. Because a man with gold rings showed up. It showed that they were rich. It showed that they had favor. It showed that they had money. In Roman society, the rich wore rings on their left hand to show their wealth and to show their prestige. Then James brings in the poor man by showing these distinctions. He's showing that there is partiality that was being displayed among the people in the church meetings. When the rich man walks in, the people are excited. Not because a wealthy person is coming to believe in Christ, but because they can gain some type of special advantage that they would not normally get. They may get closer to money and the opportunity to increase wealth themselves and their own financial security. But the poor man, that's not possible. Thus, this creates evil thoughts because the people are more concerned about a person's outward appearance and what one brings over what is truly in their hearts. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." James is saying, do not look at what a person can bring or what they are wearing, but at their faith, their heart, their love, their actions, their love of others, but their love of Christ, not at what the clothes or the outward appearance may show. Jesus says that is what comes out of the heart that defiles us. He's saying that it is what comes out of us shows and reveals what is in the heart. So, Solid Rock, let's be people who look and see people by their hearts and not by what we may gain or get. Then James specifically looks at the treatment of the poor in verses 5 through 7. He reminds them it is the poor that belong to the kingdom of God. He has chosen them to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. He has called them to him. As Jesus said in Luke 6, 20 through 21, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Jesus always made it clear that the poor will be rich in faith. So by displaying partiality within the church between the rich people and the poor, they're not being the hands and feet of Christ. The people are not representing him. As a church body comes together, we are in Christ, under Christ's lordship, for the purpose of surrendering to his kingship. When we show partiality and favoritism, we are turning away from the one in which we follow. And as I talked about earlier, because Christ did not show favoritism, we should not show favoritism. In verses 6 through 7, James is pointing out an irony and a point of criticism when he says, "But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong?" Here, James is directly pointing out the irony. Because wealthy people walk in the worship gathering, the people find it exciting, and they give special attention and admiration to that rich person. But James is basically saying, stop doing that. Stop. These very people you are admiring as they walk in are the very ones that are exploiting you. They're the very people that take advantage of you and are making you even more poor. The rich are taking the poor to court. They're taking their money. They're tearing down their reputation. He wants them to see that this is not something they should be lifting up. It's not something that they should be celebrating. If that's the case, then it's only going to continue to go on more and more. You're encouraging that behavior. Then James then gives one final call to love everyone you encounter when he brings up Jesus' words that Jesus quotes in the Old Testament by saying, if you keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing what is right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted as you are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Jesus made loving your neighbors the most important command. The very action and idea of loving our neighbor prohibits partiality. It prohibits us from picking and choosing who we treat well. So when we show favoritism, then we are not loving our neighbor, because we are putting others over another person. We are committing sin through partiality and favoritism. Because the poor man is just as much of our neighbor as the rich man is. Now I know much of what I focus on and much of what I've talked about and focused on specifically looks at that time period, that contextualization. So it's hard for us, for our modern ears. So I just have a few takeaways for us to connect with them more. The first one is the main point I've been nailing home this whole time. We as Christians must not show favoritism. As I said toward the beginning, we can like certain things, we can draw to certain things, but it's when we favor and put others above another, then we are not being Christ. We should not show favoritism again because God does not show favoritism. When we do that, we love as Jesus loved and still loves. We see all people as Jesus sees all people. We get to know people as Jesus got to know all people. We forgive as Jesus forgives. We do not show partiality. We are able to show compassion to all. Rich and poor, young and old, black and white, we are able to invite people to our table and truly get to know them for who they are and not for what they bring or have. We do not show favoritism and partiality. We completely even the playing field for everyone to truly know and see each other and make the gospel available to all without any roadblocks. And ultimately, When we show favoritism, we divide the community. We divide the church in which we are a part of, and we create divisions among the people. Something that Paul continually brings up in his letters is unity in the faith. And when partiality makes its way, then unity falls away. Takeaway number two is that it's not explicitly in our text, but in the background, is that through humility, favoritism dies. Paul says in Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. As we are clothed in humility, we take the lower position and we reach out and care for all people and value others above ourselves. Just like in verses 2 through 4, the people acted out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. With humility, we do not seek out self-gain or self-pleasure, but instead the value of another. As people of God, we are favored by Him because we believe, we love, and we trust in Him. But we should always take that position humbly and not to our advantage. Takeaway number three is that we should only be giving honor and praise and favoritism to Christ and Christ alone. No person, no matter their importance, should be raised to a higher position in the church body. You can say church building and church as in people. As we lift up people within the church as the people that James is writing to did, we are ruining our witness as followers of Christ, who are called to only worship Christ. But when we give praise and attention to anyone other than Christ, we give praise where praise does not belong and should have no pedestal at all. And the final takeaway is that we should not show favoritism because at the foot of the cross, it does not matter your social standing or social position. At the feet of Jesus, we are all sinners in need of grace. The pastor, Zach Meerkreebs, who started the Asbury Revival, he gave a sermon at Asbury College, and that's when the 16-day revival happened, where people from all over the world came to see what God was doing. People just continually worship. And he just came out of the book a couple months ago that I read last week. Now, I think it's one of the greatest Christian books I've ever read. So this is just one quote that he wrote. He said, an old friend would teach regularly that at the foot of the cross, there is ground level. So if it is a megachurch pastor, a single mom, Grammy Award-winning music artist, retired couple, New York Times best-selling author, seasoned youth volunteer, or anyone else, at the foot of the cross, our eyes are on Jesus and not sizing each other up on our right and left. Every person is beautifully and simply a creature in the shadow of the cross. Solid rock, again, there is no favoritism in God's eyes. And at the foot of the cross, we are all on the same level. So we must see people the way God sees people. If you would please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this day today. God, thank you that we can gather to hear and listen to your word. God, help us. Lord, help us to value and love others always. God, help us to fix our eyes on you every single day to the point where we see others as you see people, as you value people. Heavenly Father, God, stir and work in our hearts. Help us to love well. Help us to forgive quick. God, help us to let go of the favoritism that divides our church, that divides the church body, that divides the world. But God, help us to be your hands and your feet to further proclaim, further make known your kingdom here on earth. God, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.